A variety of legal issues and trials have commanded considerable attention recently. On Friday, the judge in the grand larceny case of former Tyco executives Dennis Kozlowski and Mark Swartz declared a mistrial. Earlier in the week, the International Court of Justice in The Hague ruled that 51 Mexicans on death row in the United States were illegally deprived of the opportunity to speak with diplomats from their home country. The court said the cases should be reviewed and reconsidered. Oklahoma City bomber Terry Nichols is being tried by the state after already being sentenced in federal court. And in the Kobe Bryant rape case, prosecutors filed a motion Friday asking the basketball star to enter a plea. We've called our frequent guide to the legal world to help give us some perspective on all of these happenings. Mimi Wesson teaches criminal law at the University of Colorado School of Law, and she joins us from the studios of KGNU in Boulder. Hi, Mimi. Welcome back.
Morning, Leanne. Great to be back.
Can we start with the World Court order, please? An interesting case. What's the basis for that ruling, and is it binding?
The court held that the United States violated a treaty called the Vienna Convention on Consular Relations, which binds the parties to that treaty to notify citizens of other countries who are facing criminal charges of their right to consult with diplomats that represent their country. So the United States confessed that it had failed in its obligation to respect the treaty obligations in many cases, but said that nevertheless the court shouldn't be prescribing a remedy. The court disagreed and held that the United States had an obligation to re-examine all of the convictions and the death sentences imposed on this number of Mexican nationals who had been sentenced to death by various American states. It's binding in a jurisprudential sense. I mean, the United States agreed to the creation of this court and agreed to participate in its deliberations. But in a practical sense, no ruling is binding unless the body that issues the ruling has force available to enforce its ruling. And the International Court of Justice doesn't command an army or even a marshal service. And so if the United States chooses to defy the ruling, which we don't know that it will, but if it should, then it's not clear that there would be any practical consequences from that defiance.
What do you make of the judge's decision to declare a mistrial in the Tyco case? I mean, the prosecution wants a new trial. Is one side or the other particularly helped or hurt by going through this entire courtroom process again?
Well, a mistrial in a criminal case is generally viewed as a victory for the defense, but what's certain is that it's going to be arduous and extremely expensive for both the government and the defendants to go through a trial again. What's discouraging about this outcome here is that when a jury appears to be encountering difficulty reaching unanimity, there are things that a judge can do, issuing careful instructions to encourage the jurors to re-examine their own personal convictions and consider the views of their fellow jurors. But here it was not anything that was done by the judge, but pressure that was created from outside the courtroom by the media and on the internet. Views, sort of vitriolic views expressed about the behavior of the apparent holdout juror that caused the judge to declare a mistrial because that juror might have felt coerced if she had learned of the things that were being said. Sort of makes you yearn for a system like the one they have in the United Kingdom where the media are forbidden to cover trials while they're in process.
In Oklahoma, Terry Nichols is on trial for murder in the 1995 Oklahoma City bombings. Now, the state wants Nichols to get the death penalty, although he's already received a life sentence in federal court for his role in the bombings. What do you see as the interesting legal issues involved here at this point?
Many people think that retrying him in state court is a violation of double jeopardy, but actually it's not. Double jeopardy doesn't prohibit a state from retrying someone who's already been convicted or acquitted in federal court for the same crime. And in any event, he was being tried in Oklahoma for the murders of those individuals who were not included in the federal charges. The prosecution's putting on its case now, but when the defense begins to put on its case, I expect we're going to hear a lot more about a line of argument that came up during the federal trial as well, but the federal judge didn't permit much of. And that's the argument that there were many more participants in this conspiracy and in this crime than the three men that the government always claimed to be the only co-conspirators. It's interesting why the defense is pursuing it so arduously, though, because really the existence of other conspirators doesn't dilute the responsibility of Terry Nichols for a crime if he was one of them. It's also curious why the government has had so much resistance to letting the jurors hear any evidence of the possibility that there were other conspirators. So we'll have to watch this. I think it'll be pretty interesting.
Quite a bit of attention is being focused on proceedings actually in your backyard, so to speak, the preliminary court proceedings in the Kobe Bryant rape case. Now, beyond the prurient public interest in this case involving a basketball star, what are some of the legal issues that are involved here?
I think this case represents a real test of whether the rape shield laws that were passed in almost all jurisdictions in the last 15 or 20 years really provide the kind of protection to victims of alleged sexual assaults that we hoped they would. Here's a case in which a jurisdiction has a pretty strong rape shield law, and yet all of us have heard all of the suggestions that have been made. And I'm afraid that the publicity that's been visited on the alleged victim in this case and the attendant humiliations may undo a lot of the good that we hoped those rape shield laws would accomplish.
There are rumors the woman who is accusing Kobe Bryant is contemplating a $40 million civil suit against him. What about rumors like this? Do they undermine confidence, for example, in her claims that she was actually raped?
The truth is that anyone who's been victimized by a crime also has a civil suit. They're often not pursued because the person accused of the crime often doesn't have the resources to satisfy any judgment, if there should be one. I think the prosecutors will be able to put this claim into the proper perspective if it should come up in the course of the trial.
Mimi Wesson is the author of Render Up the Body and A Suggestion of Death. Her third novel, Chilling Effect, will be published this summer. Mimi, as always, thank you very much.
As always, it's my pleasure, Leanne.